Well, my trip in the north has taken an unexpected turn. I'm now standing in a greenhouse. Although we have been outside, we've stepped inside to avoid the rain that's just started. And I'm in the company of Tony Tickle, who, if you Google him, may well be connected with a certain art form, is it?
It is an art form. A lot of people consider it to be horticulture, but it is a combination of both horticulture and art.
And what are we talking about?
We're talking about bonsai, which are small trees.
And I've actually only ever seen probably a couple in my life, which may have been garden centenary or flower show type of things. And straight away you've dropped me in an exquisite deep end, some phenomenal little creations, which just freaked me out a little bit. How does this happen? And what are these?
Well, people think that bonsai is a species, but it's not. Bonsai is a concept. What you have is trees that grow naturally in the wild. And they grow naturally because sheep nibble away at them. They're affected by rockfall. They're affected by poor growing conditions or very adverse weather conditions. So what I do, and there's probably only about six people in the UK and maybe 20 people in Europe do what I do, which is go out into the mountains, obviously get permission from farmers and landowners to go and collect those trees. And the way you get permission is very simple. We're looking at a lot of yew trees here. Yew trees are poisonous, so if horses eat yew, it upsets their stomach. So they give us the permission to dig the trees out of the ground. And the process of actually taking a tree from the wild to exhibiting it in an international show is usually around 12 years.
12 years work. What do those 12 years entail?
So what we're looking at now here is a raw material which is collected straight from the wild. That raw material is then taken, boxed into an establishing box, so you're creating more roots. Then as you're creating those roots, you're concentrating on the style. Then you actually style the tree using a combination of cutting and growing. So as you cut, you'll change the direction of the branch. You'll also increase the ramification, basically all the little branches that go to make it up. And you're also introducing a natural dwarfing of the leaf size. Now, I've got a theory, and the theory is this. If I'm collecting, say, a hawthorn, which is the picture that you can see here is a hawthorn. If I'm collecting a hawthorn from a scree slope that is very, very poor on water and is nibbled by sheep, I believe that the memory in the tree says, don't make big leaves because I'm not going to get enough water to sustain those leaves. So it's in the memory of the tree to have a small leaf.
So it's almost a natural evolution. The hawthorn that's attached to this recording as an avatar, the photograph, you're saying that the trees almost evolved to protect itself from being eaten by creating a miniature leaf.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So by nibbling, so whereas the bonsai artist, I don't know what the proper term
is. That's the correct term.
Is as he's nibbling away at the tree is maintaining this smaller leaf.
That's correct. A lot of people think that bonsai is cruel. It's no more cruel than cutting your grass or trimming your roses, etc. And a lot of people are of the belief that you actually stifle the root growth and you're holding the tree close to death. That's exactly the opposite of where we are. We're maintaining extremely healthy trees and that's, you know, the trimming the roots, as everybody seems to think. I probably, in the life of a bonsai, like the one in the picture, the actual root clearing out, the trimming, I may only do it twice in my lifetime, in a 20-year period.
So ideally, you want to be finding the trees that have become this way naturally and then just, I guess, in an artistic way. It's difficult for me to get my head around, and I'll tell you why, because I'm not a gardener. The garden I have at home, yes, is maintained to a certain extent when it's in its peak. It's made still to look as natural as possible. I watched my grandmother I call it controlling nature, where she has to have everything laid out and in rows. And for me, I originally saw what you're doing as extreme gardening, the absolute pinnacle of what I thought was the controlling of nature. But you're telling me now that some of these trees you found were almost in the state. You've got a tree here which is quite famous, 400 years old, you say?
Yeah, it's a hawthorn that's probably around 350 to 400 years old. And I'm very proud of that tree because it's actually quite a famous tree in bonsai circles. Kobayashi, a Japanese master, described it as the most natural rough-style bonsai he's ever seen. And that's quite an accolade. And I've been offered a substantial amount of money for that, over £15,000 for that tree.
Over £15,000 for something that... I don't know, how much work have you put into that?
Well, there's 18 years' work.
Oh, okay.
18 years' work there, so work it out. It's actually not a lot of money for 18 years.
It's not a massive wage if you only had one tree.
That's exactly right.
But are you going to sell it?
Well, the thing is, that is actually a famous tree, and as a lot of bonsai artists will tell you, everybody has a signature tree. It's the one by which everybody knows them.
My firstborn. Yeah, or the painting you're most famous for, where some artists struggle enough to do that. You actually run a consultancy business, so you don't necessarily need to give your babies away.
That's right, I don't give my babies away. But you see, I do run a bonsai school. And if you visit bonsaischool.co.uk, that's my school.
How did you learn this?
The interesting thing is that I've learned from a number of masters. I've actually worked with a lot of masters, including some Japanese masters. It is something that can be taught, but there are clearly some people who are better at it than others. I am still learning, and I don't think anybody actually stops learning. Initially, I learned from books, and most people do.
So why are the Japanese so good at this?
Well, I think the simple answer is this. They've been doing it longer. And what they have got is they've got trees that have gone down from generation to generation. And the great thing about bonsai is if you start with good material, the whole tree can always get better and better and better every year. Take, example, the raft that we've just talked about. There are a lot of bonsai artists say, I've got a raft that will beat yours. And of course, it never will, because I'm already so far ahead with my tree.
Yeah.
You know, their trees obviously will be good, but mine will just get better every year.
I guess there's a lot of competition here, which must mean that there are also dirty tricks and cheaters out there in the field.
I don't think it's dirty tricks or cheaters. We have got something called checkbook bonsai, which is a lot of people are not happy about. And what that means is they will go to Japan, buy a phenomenally expensive tree, anything up to £250,000 to £300,000 for a tree.
What? Yeah. That you can fit in a suitcase?
No. and they bring them over. They bring them over to Europe, and they will... You know, and they will exhibit them, and they will win the prizes.
Take the credit.
But you know, I don't have a problem.
Whereas generations may have nurtured that tree to get it to that stage.
Yeah, but you know, the interesting thing is, if you talk to a Japanese, you know, a master, and say to him, what is bonsai? The answer he will give you is, it's a rich man's plaything.
Right. Which, to a certain extent, in my mind, contradicts a lot of the philosophical, spiritual talk that comes around bonsai, the talk of natural energy, chi.
Yeah, definitely. There is chi. I mean, I am in a very pressurised job. But if you look at me, I'm 54, I'm not bald, I've not gone grey.
You're always bloody smiling.
Well, the thing is, bonsai is keeping me, you know, I sleep so well at night. I dream of trees. It's quite interesting as well, because I do travel all over Europe. I do give lectures, I do give demonstrations and stuff. And it's quite interesting. You know, I was over in Portugal a couple of years ago. I was treated a bit like a rock star. You know, people are coming up wanting your autograph. And, you know, I was selling some trees in Belgium earlier this year.
These are tree geeks, aren't they?
Yeah, really? They are complete tree geeks. And I said, look, you know, be really happy with this tree. He said, I'm just happy I bought a tree from Tony Tickle.
Oh, right.
So I was I felt quite good about that, you know. But you know, I am very grounded. I don't have an ego, you know. I always say the bottom line is, don't listen to what comes out the mouth. Look at what is in the exhibition and on your bonsai benches. You'll know if the artist is any good.
Well, I only have to, you know, glance around half of what I'm looking at now and... To know that there's an awful lot of work, an awful lot of passion. And thank you for educating me that little bit more on bonsai.
Good to talk to you.